Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution
so, my fellow
Americans, the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for yourself.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We're live. This is Thursday night. It's the Hour of Truth. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and I'm Dave. We're going to talk to Adam Warren tonight. He's running for Attorney General in our great state. Right now, we're going to talk really quickly about something that is of a concern to many, many people. We have a grass fire alert going on right now at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. We ask you to write several letters. It has to do with the way the wording is on the ballot for the Proposition E, which is to keep the governor from unilaterally joining Missouri or forming within Missouri a health care exchange, step one in implementing Obamacare in Missouri. Now, the legislature last session put out to you, the voters, a proposition. It doesn't say we won't have an exchange. In fact, the House of Representatives had voted to establish an exchange, a vote which did not make it all the way through to the governor's desk. It got stopped in the Senate. However, constitutionally, an exchange should be we're talking here, folks, about millions and millions of dollars of federal money coming into the state, and millions of federal dollars being dispersed by the state. This is not an action that should ever be taken unilaterally or even by the executive branch. This is a matter for the legislature, and the legislature simply says so. The language that comes out of Robin Carnahan's office and was approved by the Attorney General is egregiously horrible. I don't have it in front of me. You can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check on the Missouri Grassroots Grassfire Alert. It will tell you who to send letters to. We have several things going on here. We have a lieutenant governor who loves to file lawsuits, who is going to file a lawsuit and try to make this from keep this from happening. We have a guy running for lieutenant governor who is trying to get a special session called so the legislature can write the ballot language. We have all kinds of politics going on. We have Ed Martin making all kinds of promises about how he's going to get this thing stopped. Granted, now listen, I hear every one of you out there. I understand where you're coming from. This is all politics. All these guys are running for an office now. But take advantage of the fact that they're running for an office, write these letters, and get something done. I'm sure we'll be talking with Adam later about how we ought to handle this and what the Attorney General ought to be doing. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to call that our National Minute because I need to get this grass fire alert moving. And we're going to take our quick first commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have Adam.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. We're live. It's Thursday night. This is the Hour of Truth. You're on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and I'm Dave. We have with us tonight Adam Warren. Adam is running for Lieutenant Governor. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, but I'm running for Attorney General, so...
Attorney General. What did I say? I said Lieutenant Governor. He is running, in fact, running for Attorney General, and I messed that up. Adam, why?
For two reasons. And one is because I saw that Missourians didn't like Obamacare. They voted against it, and they weren't being represented. And I think that that's an attorney's first job, is to represent their client. And secondly, I have a passion for law enforcement. I'm a county prosecutor right now in Livingston County. And I think there's a lot of positive impact that could be made in the AG's office when it comes to methamphetamine enforcement. I think that there needs to be a better coordinated effort in Missouri because we're the number one meth manufacturing state in the nation. And it's going to take a special kind of effort to help curb that.
I'm sure we'll come back to that, but I want to get more into this why now. You know, there's a big-name Republican who went after this job. Ed Martin, he's got a lot of following, he's well known, you know he's got the money behind him, so why did you go up against this guy?
Well, I think that the message that Chris Koster from his office puts out is a message that's hard to beat unless you have some of the same credentials, because he is the incumbent, you understand, and he, you know,
yes.
Incumbents are traditionally hard to beat, and if he's going to run on his record as a prosecutor and not talk about these big constitutional issues, which I think will be his strategy, that message is going to be pretty powerful across the state. And I think if you don't have a background that can stand up to Chris Koster, or at least have some of those similar, boxes checked on your resume, then the Republicans are going to have a difficult time with him.
And you have that.
I do. I do have
that. Okay.
I'm currently the county prosecutor of Livingston County. I've been the city attorney for Chillicothe. I've been prosecuting for the last 4 years, and I've had 5 years in the Missouri Army National Guard as a JAG officer. So I've got at least the legal experience box checked when it comes to the attorney general's office.
Okay. Well, let's get back to something you said. There was a bill in the Missouri Senate last session, almost made it through, was beat back by a filibuster, and what that bill would have done is create a registry for prescription drugs in Missouri, and you would not only have had to go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy would register who is getting these methable prescriptions in a statewide database, but in order to make this work, you would have to go to the doctor if you get a prescription for these methable drugs. Where are you on that?
Well, I'm completely against the amphetamines being only allowed through prescription. I think that it punishes the wrong people. There are folks, including me, who need pseudoephedrine every day during the allergy season just to make it through the day. And for them to have to go to pay a copay just because other people are using that drug to manufacture a terrible drug is putting the burden on the wrong folks. I'm
okay.
Against all those kinds of registries. Now, we already sign a list in our state when you purchase those drugs, and I'm perfectly fine with that requirement. In fact, it's very helpful for law enforcement. But to require there to be a statewide database and also require that there be a doctor's prescription in order to get these drugs, I think, is an overreach by the government.
Okay, you're on our side with that one. Now we can't talk to anyone who's running for the position of Attorney General without talking specifically about Obamacare and this recent Supreme Court decision. Tell me how you feel about the Supreme Court decision.
Well, I think they went 2 for 3, and I was happy with their definition of commerce power, and I was happy with their definition of I was not happy with the spending power, but I was also happy with the spending power. They narrowed
right.
the spending power. So spending power and commerce power were correct interpretations. I don't think that they've correctly interpreted the taxing power of the federal government. And I don't think that when our founders created the Constitution, they intended the federal government to have the ability to tax anything they felt like, including non-action, which is what they've done in this case. So I don't think they got it right, but it is what it is. It has narrowed several of Congress's powers, or the federal government's powers, but they missed the boat with the spending power.
What can the Attorney General of the state of Missouri do now?
You know, this is where I think my opponent and I disagree, because one thing you learn when you're practicing law is that judges don't hear the same case twice, and they don't reverse themselves very often. In fact, almost never. And so to directly attack Obamacare through litigation, I think, is the equivalent of beating your head against a wall. What we need to do right now, if you want to get rid of Obamacare, you got to throw out Obama. Now, a thing that the AG can do, though, and what it should do, is that the AG should challenge the federal government's now taxing power and do it through any new law that comes up that's a new tax and try to narrow the scope of the federal government's taxing power, because that would, in essence, collaterally attack Obamacare.
So in your mind, has the Supreme Court almost said that anything the federal government has or will call a penalty is really a tax?
Yes, I think that's, in fact, the truth now. Anything that's a penalty is a tax, and that's how they're going to uphold all these laws, especially
right.
when it's, I think, and in this case, it was always a tax, especially when it's the IRS who's assessing this penalty. It was a thinly veiled tax in the first place. But from now on, that's the federal government's game going to be. But it's harder for them to pass taxes. It is, because people don't like taxes. It's a lot easier for them to give unfunded mandates to states. It's a lot easier for them to just give dictates to individuals. They can't do that anymore in this new ruling by the Supreme Court. But they can tax you for anything. And I think it's an overreach. But the war's not
okay.
over in that regard.
Okay, you're a bright litigator, so tell me this. I read up in someone's blog last week something that caught my attention, and that was that by defining this as a tax, did the Supreme Court open up another avenue of litigation in that this was a bill originated in the Senate?
Right. And all taxing and spending should originate from
right.
the House. I did not trace how the bill was formed. I think there were two bills originating from both houses, and I don't know if they had
a
perfection committee and ended up voting on which bill. I have not traced out this particular bill's path. I've been studying what's in the bill, but as far as attacking the process, I'm unaware of which house ended up being passed out of.
Okay.
I've also heard that argument. But
sorry.
I've also heard that argument, but then I saw from other posts that the bill did originate from the House as well. So I don't know which particular facts are true.
Okay. Well, a bill did originate from the House that couldn't get out of the House. And then the Senate originated a bill which they sent to the House. Well, I mean, you can go look it up. We're going to leave that horse behind, because I want to take Obamacare now and bring it back to the state of Missouri. And I want to ask you, first of all, how you feel about the ballot language that Carnahan put out for Prop. How do you feel about Prop E, personally?
Well, I think it was a good thing for the legislature to ask its citizens and its constituents, do you want us to set this exchange up or not? Because it's a very big deal for the state to set up this amount of money and this kind of insurance exchange. And so the legislature rightfully asked for a direct referendum on it. But now because of Robin Carnahan, we're not going to get one. And it's just unfortunate. I think Robin Carnahan has been reversed for her ballot language more times than any other Secretary of State. I think maybe even more times than any other Secretary of State combined.
Right.
But the new language, I think I've got a copy of it, says, shall Missouri law be amended to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans? I mean, that's that
yep.
language. Who in their right mind would deny individuals and families ability to access affordable health care? We just stop at that. Stop right,
right
there. You know, everyone's mind shuts off. They're going to quit reading the rest of it. And
that's
the word exchange is kind of buried in the middle of it, halfway through. And it's just written in such a way that you don't even know what you're voting on. And that's exactly the opposite of what the Secretary of State's office is for. They're there to ensure fair and impartial ballot language. You're just supposed to know what you're voting for. You're not supposed to be a cow that is led to a pasture and grazes. It's just unfortunate.
And then that ballot language has to go through
the AG's
Attorney General.
That's right.
So it is the Attorney General's job to make sure that what? What about that ballot language?
Well,
what is the Attorney General's job there?
Their job is to make sure it meets constitutional scrutiny. That's really their job. They don't go any further than that. I don't think they're even supposed to make sure that it's fair and accurate. They're supposed to make sure that it won't be overturned for unconstitutionally being misleading or fraudulent. But
right.
They may have missed the boat on that one as well. There's been quite a few lawsuits filed by other statewide candidates recently and one statewide officer to try to derail this language before it hits the ballots. We'll see if that makes any grounds or not, or gains any grounds.
So now, what do we do from here? Are we stuck with this ballot language? We've got Ed Martin out there pounding the pulpit. We've got, Senator running for lieutenant governor.
Logger, Brad Logger.
Yes, Brad, yeah, pounding the pulpit. And we've got the Attorney General pounding the pulpit, and all three pounding different pulpits. Is there anything we can do? Is this just rhetoric? Is there anything we can do? Is there anything we should do?
Well, if someone gets quick enough into Cole County's court and gets a judge to change his language, it'll probably get appealed, and it'll be on the ballot before time comes due, and then the law will be challenged as unfair, and the whole thing will be invalidated. Unfortunately, the legal system moves very slowly, and that's why it's important who's in the office. Will they be able to have a judge change this language? I think the judge won't do that. I think a judge would just say, this language is unfair. As a judge, my job's not to legislate, so we'll strike this down as unfair and send it back to the same Secretary of State's office to redo. Well, how's that going to come out? So
okay.
I don't think that there's any hope for having a fair and accurate referendum on this ballot.
Is there any hope for getting a special session and letting the legislature write the language?
Yes, there's hope for that.
Okay.
I think that they could do it. We have a pretty good majority.
The governor would have to call that. Is that going to happen?
No, not he won't do it. Not now that we have a budget. So
yeah.
If we didn't have a budget
well,
or some issue with the budget, I don't think he's going to call a special session. There's no rumblings out there, and I've talked to many legislatures on this campaign trail, and they don't anticipate a special session.
Is it true that you've studied Obamacare? You're wanting to be AG, so you've looked
Correct.
Pretty heavily at Obamacare. Probably read the whole 1,642 pages.
I know. Unfortunately,
but,
I still am practicing law too, but I have read probably more than the average citizen. Yes.
But is it true then that we're stuck with an exchange one way or the other? Either we're going to do it,
true.
Or the federal government's going to come in and do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, either it's set up by the state or the state says, okay, don't set it up. We're going to set one up for you. And they march your little federal bureaucrats right into your state and set one up.
Yeah, so the idea, I think, with Prop E is has nothing to do with denying anybody health care. It's saying to the governor, it's not your job to set this thing up. We'll take care of it.
No, that's correct. That's saying that if the federal government wants their exchange so badly, let them do it. And don't stick your nose into it. Let it be their mess, not ours.
There you go. We're with Adam Warren. He's running for Missouri Attorney General. He'll be on the ballot for the August 7th primary. He'll be facing off with Ed Martin to represent you against Koster in this position. If you want to talk to Adam, it's 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into what Adam thinks Missouri's problems are right now.
With the August primary looming in about 7 weeks, we find the time is running out on who we vote for. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Do the representatives we send to Jefferson City really care what you think, or do they do the bidding of the special interest groups and lobbyists? It's your choice. You can elect a true citizen legislator or an establishment politician who takes his marching orders from the party elitists and his donors. Either way, time is running out for our state and country. Hear the clock of freedom ticking? I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
We are turning the tide. We are constitutional libertarians and conservatives riding the top of that tidal wave, and we're coming to take our country back. We've got Adam Warren here tonight. Adam's running for Attorney General. He'll be on the primary ballot, and his number is 347-677-1835. We'd love to have you come along and ask Adam a question. Adam, what's the number one problem in Missouri?
Well, I think the number one problem in Missouri is, unfortunately, drug addiction and the epidemic of methamphetamine consumption and production. That is the biggest problem facing the average community in Missouri right now.
Okay, yeah, I'm telling you, I live in a upper middle class neighborhood, and it's less than a block from me that there was a homicide connected with someone wanting with a heroin issue 3 nights ago. So I know exactly where you're coming from. Now, what does the Attorney General do about that problem? I mean, it's a problem. We've been through 3-4 Attorney Generals now, everyone saying that this is a significant problem. So what do we do about it, and what does the Attorney General do?
Well, the Attorney General has to lead, and that's the key here. We have 114 counties in St. Louis City, which have 114 individually elected prosecutors, who are all out there slugging it out individually, trying to solve a statewide epidemic, and really a nationwide epidemic, but one that's concentrated here in our state. What needs to happen is we have to have some new leadership that focuses on getting and identifying habitual methamphetamine producers and making sure that law enforcement know where those people are at all times. And we need to make sure that we have a more structured and quicker way to get people institutionalized for methamphetamine addiction, because we have two systems right now in the Department of Corrections. One's a very short 120 treatment center. One's a long-term drug treatment, and people are just not breaking their addictions. And whenever there are demands for methamphetamine, there are always going to be producers of it. So you have to fight both at the same time. And I think that we've been fighting meth, use of meth production, like only like a crime and not like the addiction that it is.
Well, what do we do? Do you have an idea for some more programs than what we have?
Well, I do, actually. I would like to see an institutionalized drug treatment program, one that is specific to methamphetamine, one that doesn't have a set time. Right now, we let people go for a 120. It's 120 days in treatment center. At the end of those 120 days, they get kicked out. That's not guaranteeing anyone's beat methamphetamine addiction. And then we release them to a probation officer who may see them once a month. Well, methamphetamine cleans out of your system in 2 days. And when you know when your appointment is, it's really easy to continue to use methamphetamine. So we do have to change our programs. When it comes to methamphetamine addiction, you don't get off it unless you have a period of forced and monitored sobriety. And we're getting that. And then they're let out, and there's no transition. And so
there's a lot of push now by the conservatives, and a lot of push back by the progressives to deny any state benefits to people who are to actually have people take a drug test before they can qualify for food stamps or any sort of state assistance. So where are you on that?
Well, I think it should happen because. I'm just very tired, and this is a personal opinion of mine, of going to court every week like I do and prosecuting person after person who is on government assistance. And it seems like these folks have enough energy and gumption to break the law constantly but not to go out there and work and be productive. And that is frustrating to see my tax dollars and your tax dollars and my kids' future go to support people who routinely break the law. And so I'm in favor of that.
I'm with you, but I'm at a loss as to how to answer the progressives, or do we even bother, how to answer the progressives' problem with the fact that this dope addict who robbed this liquor store isn't entitled to state benefits, but he's got three kids and they didn't do anything.
Right. And what they don't understand is that they're not helping those three kids by enabling him to stay addicted to drugs. They're not.
Right.
And I've seen children who are directly in the middle of these meth homes, and their moms are picking their sores and staring at the ceiling while the kids are in the crib crying. And these are specific cases I know about. So just giving them money is not helping the children at all. In fact, it's enabling terrible addictions which are destroying the family. So when they start talking about, oh, you're hurting the kids, you are not hurting the kids. You're hurting the kids by giving them free access to a money stream that supports an addiction. And so I think that's my answer to that.
Okay. Now, aside then from a stream of programs that we need to face the fact that the big part of our drug problem is the addiction factor, and that we can, aside from the law and order part, we can help fix that. What is the Attorney General? Tell me how the Attorney General, because this obviously isn't being done right now and hasn't been for a while, how does the Attorney General set the tone for law and order all through the state?
Well, first of all, there are original jurisdictions in law and order in the AG's office. All Medicare and Medicaid fraud originate from the AG's office. So the Attorney General is a prosecutor and has the original jurisdiction on some cases. Secondly, they do all the appeals for every prosecutor in the state. So every time someone is convicted, the AG picks up the appeal because, as we know, pretty much every criminal case is appealed, it seems like, or at least one is attempted. And, you know, finally, the AG is the leader when it comes to prosecutors' issues, or at least can act in that role. And in law enforcement issues, can take the lead in redesigning enforcement strategies for the state.
Okay, so basically, does the Attorney General have a role if somebody writes in and says, I'm down here in County X, and my prosecutor isn't doing anything. I mean, he is booking and releasing all these meth addicts, and they're never seeing a bench.
Yeah, and a lot of times you can't even blame the prosecutor for that. It takes many players in law enforcement, and oftentimes you're running into a judge or you're running into the probation parole system, and it's not just a prosecutor. But the answer to your question is can the AG micromanage the prosecutors? No, they cannot. And that is up to the individual county and voter. And a prosecutor's decision is sovereign, and it's pretty much immune from challenge. And so, unless
the AG isn't quite the boss prosecutor of the
correct.
State.
Correct. They are not.
Right.
No, in fact, any AG who acts like a boss prosecutor is quickly ran off office, because I don't want to be told what to do in my county, and neither does any other prosecutor, because we are directly electable and accountable to our public. And there's probably no office that gets as much heat as our office directly from the public, so we're pretty well accountable quickly.
Right.
And I
think that's something that people need to understand about the Attorney General, is that the Attorney General isn't the boss of your county prosecutor.
Correct. Is not at all.
Right. Okay. So let's move on then, if you're done with that, and let's go back to Obamacare, but I want to talk less specifically about Obamacare than to just say that I think there had been a great awakening in this country because of Obamacare, but that awakening needs to be applied across the board to in education, in the EPA. I mean, what can we do just in general to push back this federal government that just seems to be barreling through here like a freight train?
Well, I've never seen government release the power that they grab. They just don't seem to. And so what really needs to happen is we need a federal Hancock Amendment, and that's probably the only way to really rein in the federal government. Because what is constitutional, what we've known, is they can borrow and spend an unlimited amount of money. There is no constitutional cap on the size of the federal government based on their borrowing and spending. And so people who are actually, I think, purposefully running this country for a financial cliff in order to break the system and recreate it in their own image and what they want to have, which is another form of socialism,
amen,
have to be controlled and have to be constitutionally controlled. There has to be the big issue limits put on the federal government. And it is, those safeties don't exist right now. And what used to be people's good common sense that, you know, they came from business and they came from small farms and places where budgets had to work, now people are now politicians, are full-time politicians, have been politicians since they were 25, don't know how the real world works, thinks that they can print money forever and borrow forever, and the math just doesn't work. And so that's the real big issue. If we're going to rally behind one issue, it should be a federal Hancock Amendment.
Okay. How about a fair tax?
Well, I like the fair tax. And the reason I like the fair tax, not because it's greatly limiting the government, but because it somewhat takes out some of the corruption that's inherently built into government. I like the fact that you can't play as many games with the income tax and with special tax credits. And I also like the fact that everyone gets a little skin in the game. And so maybe everyone will pay a little more attention about what their government's doing with their money. So those are the two things that I like about the fair tax.
All righty. Let's wind that down for a minute then and talk about you. What's your ambition, Adam? Adam, I mean, you came out of law school. Did you come out of law school and say, I'm going to be an attorney general?
I think so. I mean, if I want to be honest, I do want to be honest. I think that politics has always been an interest of mine, because I like service and I like policy. I just have a passion for talking about the big issues that and the parameters in which our government operates. I've always cared about those things, and so I love my job now too. I like doing the micro side of it and trying to manage cases one case at a time, one person at a time, one result at a time. But I also like the idea of the larger sense of society and how we work within the law. So I've always been interested in it.
Well, and I mean, let's be serious. Your job now is politics, isn't it? I mean, you are in an elected position.
I am, and the most brutal kind of politics is small town politics.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
The local politics they are politics.
All politics is local.
That is correct.
So ambitions. I mean, when you've been attorney general for eight years, would you like to be governor?
Well, I think that I've always said this. I would go as high as I could, but I want to make sure I do a good job at where I am. So,
okay.
So I would I look past attorney general only if I did a good job at attorney general, and only if I did it for a long enough time. So right now, to talk past that office is silly. I want to make sure I'm doing a good job at county prosecutor, and I want to someday be attorney general. Yes.
Okay. Why, quite specifically, and I'm talking about the August 7th run now, why, quite specifically, are you the better guy for this job?
Well, I think that I'm the better guy for the job because I've been doing similar jobs for the last 7 years. I've been practicing law. And I've been, I have been a prosecutor. I've been also someone who represented city councils, have been very involved in budgets and very involved in sunshine law issues. And, the AG wears several hats. They have 200 lawyers that do a lot of different kinds of law. Well, in a small town practice like I have, I've done several kinds of law. I've been involved in probate, and you maybe don't know this, but the AG's office handles several probate cases. I've been involved with employment law. The AG's office handles some employment law issues. So I think that you have to have a broad spectrum knowledge of the law itself, at least be familiar with some issues in all aspects in order to be a good attorney general. That's kind of the general word. It's more of a general practice.
Okay. Tell me we haven't had this problem in a while, and we hope not to have it in November, but what happens when we get into a situation where the attorney general and the governor are pulling us in two different directions?
And specifically in which issue?
Well, let's talk about you are the attorney general of the state.
Okay.
And Nixon is the governor of the state, and you want to push back against Obamacare, and the governor says no. Is there a hierarchy there? Is there a do you just get to go do whatever it is you want to do?
Well, I don't think so. I think there is a hierarchy with some exceptions, and both have the authority under the state to bring suits to protect the state. And so if there is a mandate from the public, like Proposition C, you don't need
right.
to listen to the governor. You've got your mandate in the law. But if you want to just challenge any law in general, I do believe you have to listen to your governor. That's what he was like to do as well.
And we sort of do have that situation right now. I mean, we've had to pretty much rely on we couldn't rely on the governor, we couldn't rely on the attorney general. We pretty much had to rely on the lieutenant governor,
right?
Like him or not,
he really doesn't have the authority
cases
to speak
for us.
Right, he really doesn't have the authority to speak for the state. They're really only two offices that do, the governor and the AG, and he's out there doing his best to try to represent the, the people in Missouri whose voice went unheard after Proposition C was passed. But the suit to join was the Florida suit, where 26 attorney generals already joined that suit and had their day in court. And so there still is a suit floating around out there. It started here in our district.
Right.
But it's probably not going to go any further because the Supreme Court won't pick it up after already.
Exactly. We've ruled on that. We don't want to talk about it anymore.
That's right.
Okay, there are plenty of people, Ron Paul, who are libertarian, who run under the Republican ticket because you don't get elected as a libertarian.
You don't.
There are Constitution candidates who run under the Republican ticket. Where do you fit? Where do you fit? Are you a Republican? Are you a libertarian? Tell me where you fit philosophically in politics.
How far right do I go? I guess that's the question. So,
well, it is my question. Right.
I am probably a libertarian-leaning Republican. That would be where I sit.
Okay.
On the line.
I'm a Republican-leaning libertarian, but we're pretty close. We're talking with Adam Warren. Adam Warren wants to be the next Attorney General of the state of Missouri. He'll be running head-to-head against Ed Martin on August 7th, and then he'll be running against the Democrat who's selected for that position in November. I can't believe with all these people listening tonight that we haven't had someone call in with a question for Adam. We're at 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. We've talked so far tonight about Obamacare and Prop E. We've talked quite a bit about the Secretary of State and the current Attorney General and why we need things different. We've talked a little bit about law and order. We've talked about meth. What we haven't talked about yet is this guy, Adam Warren. Who is Adam Warren? Why is Adam Warren what Adam Warren is? And what he thinks you ought to do for him. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Thank you very much for listening.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th, and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it. I've got a feeling that the
tide is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And the number one voice for liberty in a land where liberty is under fire is the Hour of Truth. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Dave. Okay, listen up now. The Hour of Truth is on every Monday and Thursday. Next Monday, we're going to talk to Mike Moon. Mike is running against Billy Long in a very hot primary down here to get us a citizen legislator to Washington, D.C. to replace our current legislator. I'll just leave it at that. And we're behind Mike Moon. We don't make any pretenses here of not having an agenda. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. I am Dave. I'm a libertarian, and I come out and tell it like it is from where I sit. The opinions that I give are mine. They are not necessarily the opinions of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, but anybody over there in the coalition who knows what ought to be and what ought not to be agrees with me. And that's the way that goes. On Tuesday nights, Vaughn Carriger comes along. Vaughn's going to be talking about elder abuse. Vaughn's a very bright attorney from the Farmington area. She's also a member of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. She has a show called Show Me Common Sense. What Vaughn does is Vaughn gets down in the streets with conservatives who make a difference every day, with bikers ending child abuse, with veterans with hope, and she brings you little tidbits from those organizations. And these are the people who, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm great, and I guess I like to think I get to have a little bit of part in this tide is turning thing, but all I do is really sit on my butt and talk to you folks. These are people who are out in the street every day, walking the conservative walk, and doing the conservative things. And we know that the reason progressives need the government doing things like feeding people is because they aren't philanthropic people. They are people who want to take this responsibility. They want to say, well, the church isn't doing their job. They want to say, well, people aren't doing their job. Well, conservatives are the heart of what makes this country great. And you can, I mean, you can take that, Google it, research it, look it up, just Google up anything about who gives more money, who does more for the hungry, who does more for the needy. Yeah, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they've got their big things. But when it comes down to the day-to-day things, it is the conservatives who are the philanthropists. It is the conservatives who hold the charity of this nation together. And when our nation was more conservative, we were more powerful, because our brothers and sisters, it is capitalism. It is nothing else. It is conservative capitalism that brought this nation out of two world wars and the worst depression in history. It is this country, and it is the capitalism and the conservatism that drives this country when we're doing it right. That was a little rant, and I got sidetracked there because Vaughn is down there with her Show Me Common Sense show, and she is dealing with those people. On Wednesdays, Lisa Payne Nager comes along. She's got a show called The Culture Vigilante. Lisa is a homeschooler. She is very hot into education issues. She also loves the Patriot Movement, and she highlights on her show every week one of the small Patriot groups who is a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. She also has a segment called Yankee Doodle Legislation, where she brings along Tom March from the Locke and Smith Foundation, and they talk about some of this legislation that our legislators are wasting your money on that does absolutely nothing but give them something to beat their chest about when they go out on the campaign trail. Give me a license plate for veterans. Oh, I support veterans. I got a license plate for veterans. You know what I mean. You know the stuff I mean. That's Lisa. And then on Friday is fun. Friday is the roundtable. It's the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Roundtable. Lisa's usually there. Vaughn is usually there. I am usually there. This week, Mike Smith is going to be there, and we're going to do a fair tax show for an hour. But the roundtable is always fun. Now, do please go and check out the podcast of Vaughn's show from Tuesday night. She had an excellent interview, a one-hour interview with Bev Randles. Now, you know, we've come down for Bill. And here is a woman who is absolutely more than just arm dressing for a campaigner. I mean, here is a woman who knows what conservatism is about, who knows what liberty is about, who knows what it takes to get there from her own background. And if you want to hear an inspiring interview from a woman who is a driving force, not the driving force, but a driving force behind the man who's going to be our next governor, you've got to catch that interview that Vaughn did on Tuesday night. Okay, enough of that. I'm back with Adam. Adam Warren, running for Attorney General, 347-677-1835. Tell us about you. Where do you come from, and how do you get where you're at?
Sure. Well, I came from north central Missouri, small town called Meadville, born and raised there. I've kind of looked into my family history, and I found out that I'm an eighth-generation Missourian. So our people have been here for a while. It helps because I have a lot of relatives now in the state. And I grew up in that small town and went to a town that had, or a class that had 19 people in it. And I graduated, had a great small-town experience, probably similar to a lot of people's backgrounds. Played the high school sports and did the Quiz Bowl and played in the band. Then I went to college down in Springfield, spent 4 years there. Had a great college experience there, too. I was in a fraternity and helped found a fraternity. Was a college cheerleader for the campus and was student body president. And that was a great experience. And then from Springfield, I went to law school at the University of Missouri Columbia. I spent 3 years there and got my law degree and came back home. Well, home is being Chillicothe, the big town next door to my little town where I grew up. And I opened a practice there. And for the last 7 years. Well, in a small town, you don't get to pick the kind of practice. Your clients do for you.
Yeah,
and so what I've been is, do you do that? Yes, I do. And there's a few things I don't do anymore. I did practice bankruptcy until they changed the law. So that was about 6 years ago. And I don't do much federal work at all. So I don't do Social Security disability. I don't do all those kind of benefit laws. I practice mostly what you do in small towns, and that is family law, estate planning, small business. And then I got involved in politics, as you pointed out, and was elected city attorney and now county prosecutor. And so those are the jobs I do. I also spent 8 years in the Missouri Army National Guard, which was a wonderful experience. I spent 3 years as a legal clerk and 5 years as a JAG officer. And mostly in that job, I help represent soldiers and help soldiers with issues in their deployments. Because, as you know, the National Guard's been very busy these last 10 years. And they've basically acted just as active duty soldiers are. And then on the front side and the back side of every deployment is a JAG officer trying to help them get their lives put on hold and then sped back up or put back in order. It's very different from Guard soldiers because they're leaving behind jobs and they're leaving behind community involvement. And, of course, every soldier leaves behind their family. But some of these families weren't quite expecting it the way that active duty soldiers were. So that's been a great experience, and I've met a lot of people who I really respect through the National Guard. But last year, I no longer in the Guard. Did my 8 years and got my honorable discharge, and my wife is happy about that.
I need to ask everyone who I talk to who is a prosecutor, whether it's on the radio or over a cup of coffee, how much time did you spend defending the people you're now prosecuting?
I spent, I spent 3 years doing some type of criminal defense work. And then when I became city prosecutor, I did no more criminal defense because I took mostly special prosecutor cases. I still did a few city cases outside of the jurisdiction, say at least an hour away, mostly for friends who found themselves going too fast down a highway. But I pretty much stopped the defense side of life. But I did do it for about 3 years.
But I think that's an important question for me to ask prosecutors on the air because we have so many people on our side of the aisle, the conservative / libertarian / whatever, Republican, who just still carry around this vision of defense attorneys as the sleazy guys who don't do anything but get the bad guy off. And it's important to hear from the prosecutors once in a while that there really are two very, very important sides to this system we've set up.
Well, and you know, there are defense attorneys like that, and there are some that are not. I like to think I was the kind that was not. And even when I practice now, I know a defense attorney who will be honest with the facts that are in front of them and that do their best to advocate for their client. And there are some
right.
who try to have smoke and mirrors and make you look the other way and just try to get their guy to get, you know, as you stated, get them off.
They usually go to work for Casey Anthony.
Exactly. Well, and it's just, you know, everyone deserves an advocate in the court system, and I do believe in that. But I just believe that there are professional standards where you should operate within. And I think a lot of attorneys do that, especially, and I don't practice too much in the city, but your reputation is the only kind of tradable material you have in a small town. It is the only way that you can have a viable practice is to have a credible voice as an attorney. And the second that you give up your credibility in a small town court, you might as well close the shop because a judge won't believe you, a prosecutor won't believe you, your defense attorneys or your brother counsel won't believe you, clients won't believe you. And so I hold those kind of standards very sacred, and I think a lot of people, or at least I grew up, do. I think your word needs to be gold.
I think so. I'm a small town boy myself. I grew up in a town where the high school had more people in it than the people living inside the city limits. So I know exactly where you're coming from. We didn't even have a lawyer in town, for that matter. You had to drive to Springfield if you wanted to see a lawyer, or half the time a barber. But okay. So there's how Adam gets his education and finds his vocation. Tell me a little bit about Adam, the liberal-leaning conservative. Were you raised that way? Have you always been that way? Did you have an awakening?
Libertarian-leaning conservative? Because I'm not a liberal-leaning conservative, except for the word in the traditional sense. People may take
right.
that to mean that I'm a socialist. That's what liberal has come to mean anymore. But
right.
I'm not at all. I'm a liberal in the traditional term of the word. And I think that it just comes from my background of not having anyone to govern me growing up except for my faith and my parents. And to step out into the real world now where I own a small business and I work and just see how much intrusion there is and just my natural rejection to, you know, revulsion to that intrusion. I think it just comes from my belief that I'm sovereign, not anyone else. You know, we as individuals are sovereign. And what little we grant to the government to govern us should not be exploited back to tell us that we're not sovereign, that really the government knows better for us. And so where does that come from? Where is the awakening? I don't think I had an awakening. I think that's just the way I was raised. I think that I was raised to understand that if I don't work, I don't eat. And the only way that you're going to get help from me is if you need help, and I believe that charity comes from the heart, not from the government. And I think that it actually the government's intervention has destroyed the charitable intention of good people in this country. And so, and then I guess what's reinforced it has been my experience in prosecution, where I see the entitlement destroy these people, and you should just their answers have completely devoided them of responsibility of their own lives. And I think that that kind of teaching comes from government intervention into their lives. And they're not happier, and they're not more productive. And I want citizens to be happy and productive, and I want them to be able to maximize their God-given potential and not be given some excuse and a little bit of a crumb to barely, you know, barely survive on. I want us to be a nation of entrepreneurs and inventors and champions and not people who are beggars and excuse makers. And so I think that's the world vision that I see, and I think that we have been those things, and I have a 17-month-old son, and I'm happy to have him, but I want to leave him something that's an opportunity, not a debt. And it seems like that's the only thing I'm going to be handing him at this time.
Okay, you said something earlier that really piqued my ears because I've said the same thing myself for 3 or 4 years now, and that is that I do not think it is a bit conspiracy theorist to say that where these people are leading us, they are leading us intentionally.
No.
Over the economic cliff to a ruined state that they can build back into their own image.
Well, how do you?
What
it doesn't make any sense. And I'll disagree with you because we are the richest nation in the world, and pretty much the richest nation there has ever been. How are you completely broke in your government setting without it being purposeful? It just doesn't make any sense.
How do you owe more than 50% of everything the entire wealth of this country can generate in 1 year? But my question springing from that, Adam, is I know you've thought about this. Is it too late? What have we done? How do we get this thing turned around?
Well, I don't think it's too late, and that's why I'm getting involved. If I thought it was too late, I'd be figuring out how to get out of this country. But I don't think it's too late because, and even if you look at through your own personal finances, you can borrow about 100% of what you make a year and finance it and survive, you have to cut back. It's going to hurt. You're not going to get to have any frills. And someone's going to get rich off your work. It's going to be whoever lent you the money. And that's another thing I hate. Is, you know, these liberals like to talk about, oh, you're only in favor of the wealthy. Well, guess what borrowing a ton of money does? That just enriches the wealthy at the expense of the hardworking taxpayer. And so I'm in favor of tightening our belts, of living within our means in every sense of the word. And I don't even want to get too involved in picking winners or losers within the budget. I'm just talking about the macro. We have got to every year scale back the deficit until it's that budget is balanced. I would propose nothing less than 12%. And then after that, in economic good times, we have to pay off our debt, and we have to start taking those budget surpluses in economic good times and putting them right towards the balance. And I think that it's possible, and I think within, even if we go at a moderate pace and cut 10% a year, in 10 years our budget can be under control. We can be back on the path to fiscal responsibility, and that's what it is. It's about being responsible. You know, when you borrow this amount of money, you're irresponsible, and you're doing nothing but handing your problems to someone else. That being our children.
I agree. I'm with you. Where do I go to find out more about you on the web, and where do I go to give you some money so we can get you elected?
Sure. My website is www.adamleewarren. I have to use my middle name because there's a famous Adam Warren comic book writer, and so I use my middle name, Adam Lee Warren, LEE.com. I also use Adam Lee Warren as my Twitter feed, and I use Adam Lee Warren as my Facebook website, so Facebook/Adam Lee Warren. Both the Facebook site and my website have direct web links for donations, and I do communicate on my Facebook page, and if you look on my information, you'll find my email address. I communicate any way that people want to communicate because I'm young and I use all those kind of newfangled technologies. So I'm happy to answer questions, to respond, and I do like interaction. And right now, I just looked at my Facebook page. I've got about 1,600 followers. If you'd like to follow the campaign, it helps greatly. It helps get the word out about the campaign. Social media actually is a great equalizer because it used to be where it was only TV, and TV is the only way to be elected statewide. Well, I think social media has actually kind of leveled the field for guys like me who aren't getting the big checks from the party. And so it's a good way to get your message out. And I appreciate any help on social media that I can get. And also, I do have some YouTube videos. I'd be more than happy if you watch those and find out more about me.
How do we find you on YouTube?
Well, you can just type Missouri Attorney General into YouTube. I'll be like the second, third, and sixth result.
Okay, well, there you go. How do you feel? How do you feel? You're out there in the fields every day.
Yes.
How are you feeling about it? Are you being well received?
I am being very well received, and that's one thing that's been great, is that I've never been to a place where someone has asked me, now, why in the world are you running against Ed Martin? And I'm happy to say that people have received my candidacy well. How do I feel I'm doing? Well, I feel like it's a big state, and there are 6 million people to meet in this state, and I'm trying my best. I've been to over 70 counties, and I've been to over 100 events, and I'm running constantly.
A little bit different than running for a county prosecutor job, huh?
Yes. County prosecutor job is a little easier. Just knock every door and go home.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible amount of work, and my family has been sacrificing and helping, and so has my extended family and friends. And so it's been a wonderful experience. I've been very well received. How am I doing? I don't poll, and so I don't know how I'm looking in the polls. I know that my opponent's running TV ads right now, so I thought he might save that kind of money for the primary, so I must be or for the general, so I must be doing better than I thought I was even. That's a good sign.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really even asking if you'd done any polls or how you were doing. I was just pretty much asking how you felt out there and whether you felt like this was well received at all, and were you being treated formally? And,
you know, the party has even promised me support if I make it past the primary, which is nice to hear too. Because sometimes when you come out of off their radar, they reject your candidacy. But that hasn't happened at all. I think that people like me and they like my candidacy, and no, I haven't ruffled any feathers. So I'm happy. I mean, I came to ruffle feathers, but I haven't ruffled them on at least my side of the aisle.
Good. And I think you're right, but I think those days are over now. I think the party is going to I think Bill Randles isn't the favored party child, but I think he'll get the money when he comes out fine, and I feel that the party feels a need to get things like Attorney General and Secretary of State and Governor and Lieutenant Governor under control.
Well, they do. And they have to. The party needs to think about winning, and that's what they need to think about. I don't know. They seem to pick people who they like to pick, but I think winning is what counts. And so you've got to find people that can win, and I think that I can win.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. You got any parting words then? And we'll thank you very much for coming.
Oh, no. My parting words are I appreciate shows like this. This is the way that we're going to change our nation, is by coming together for common cause, not being mindless people who only watch commercials and take candidates as a can of soda. And if that's all you vote for is some name you hear like a can of soda, that's never going to change the system, and it's only going to encourage corruption. So I really do appreciate what you're doing out there to keep our nation going on the right path.
Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate everyone who takes up the gauntlet. And I mean, really, I don't know how many people out there listening to us tonight have actually sat down across the table from a man or a woman who is running for a statewide office and knows what these folks give up, win or lose, what they have given up to try to serve you. And I appreciate that, and the honor of having this show is mine, and the honor of having you here certainly is mine, and I want to thank you. This guy we're talking to here is Adam Warren. He's running for Attorney General, and he is at AdamLeeWarren.com. It's Adam Lee Warren on Facebook. It's Adam Lee Warren at Twitter, and he has some YouTubes out there, and he needs your vote. He needs your money. He needs your help, and he needs you to put a sign in your yard, and he needs you to get the word out there that he is alive and kicking and wanting this job. And Adam, I want to thank you very much for coming along and tell you how much we appreciated it and what a great time I've had here tonight.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, that was Adam Warren. Adam wants to be Attorney General for the state of Missouri. On August 7th, he'll be facing off head-to-head with Ed Martin. And one of those two guys is going to be the next Attorney General of the state of Missouri, representing your needs, your desires, and your wants in that arena. The Attorney General is the attorney for the people of the state of Missouri, and it's a very, very, very important job. If you don't believe it's a very important job, go read the ballot language of Prop E. And that ballot language wasn't written by the Attorney General, but it certainly got through him. And go look at the history of this state's challenge to Obamacare, and you'll know how badly this state needs an Attorney General who is on your side. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of the upcoming shows. We're going to tell you a little bit about Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and then we're going to wrap up for the night. Thank you very much for listening. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Dave.
With the August primary looming in about 7 weeks, we find the time is running out on who we vote for. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Do the representatives we send to Jefferson City really care what you think, or do they do the bidding of the special interest groups and lobbyists? It's your choice. You can elect a true citizen legislator or an establishment politician who takes his marching orders from the party elitists and his donors. Either way, time is running out for our state and country. Hear the clock of freedom ticking? I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery?
forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. You're on the Thursday Night Hour of Truth. We've just finished about a 90-minute talk with Adam Warren. Adam is a conservative, as he defined himself, libertarian-leaning Republican from Chillicothe. He's a county prosecutor, and he's looking to be the attorney general for the state of Missouri. If you missed it or any part of it, go back and catch the podcast. You can find all the podcasts for all of our shows at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Back in December, my favorite guy, Herman Cain, dropped out of the race, and we moved on. That is when myself and several other people got together, and we decided that if we were going to fix this country, given the debacle that we had just seen, that we were going to have to do it by taking back our counties, taking back our cities and villages, taking back our state. First, that there is no way, given the anointing before any of us even got to vote, of the Republican nominee and the devastation that both the Republican and Democratic Party wreaked on all of the other hopefuls, no way we were ever going to fix this from the top down. And further, did we want to? Because you know, the fact of the matter is that what the president of the United States ought to be is one thing, and that is irrelevant to our day-to-day lives. The president of the United States is the head of the executive branch of the government. He is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. But when it comes to the running of the government, the part of the government that affects our day-to-day lives, The president is fairly irrelevant. His job is to carry out the laws sent down by our legislature. It has never been and should never be a job of the president and the bureaucracy that surrounds him to decide what kind of light bulbs we can have. So in an effort to take this thing back, we formed Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and the idea behind Missouri Grassroots Coalition is simply this. We look around the state of Missouri and we see literally hundreds of groups that are absolute hardcore patriots who believe in the Constitution of the United States and the state of Missouri, who believe in a limited government, who believe in fiscal responsibility, and who believe in state sovereignty and state rights. And these groups have different names. They're fair tax groups, they're 912 groups, they're Tea Party groups, they're property rights groups, they're right to life groups. And the problem that we saw, and it was really noticeable to me, when I go up to Jefferson City for the Consent of the Governed rally, that walking along the corridors there, going from office to office, were several people meeting legislators who said, I am from the Xenon County Tea Party group. Well, how many people do you represent? Well, 12. There's 12 of us in the group. I'm from the something fair tax group. Well, how many people in your group? Well, 35 people in our group. And what we decided we needed was a single combined co-op. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is not a governing body. Do not ever be afraid of folding your group into Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We write no law. We dictate no policy. We do not do anything to try to govern your group. What we try to do exclusively is bring the voices of all these groups together into one loud voice. That is why we limit ourselves to the things we all agree on: fiscal responsibility, limited government, and state sovereignty. That is a governing by the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Missouri. Three things: limited government, state right and sovereignty, and fiscal responsibility. And in fiscal responsibility, we roll fair taxation. We don't, and it doesn't mean that all of us don't fervently have some belief in this area, but we don't do the issues that divide these groups. You know, we don't do social issues, we don't do gay issues, we don't do life issues, we don't do those issues. And it's, again, it's not that those aren't important issues. It's not that every one of us, whether we're in a 912 group or a fair tax group or a right to life group or a Tea Party group, don't have strong feelings one way or the other about these issues and what part the government ought to play in these issues. It's that those are the issues that drive these thousands of groups in, drive a wedge between them. And we want to stay away from that. We want to stay with the issues that everyone listening to this show, that everyone in Missouri Grassroots Coalition, that everyone in any one of those groups that I just mentioned is in agreement on, and that is we need a smaller government, we need a fair tax system, we need fiscal responsibility, and we need states' rights and state sovereignty. Those issues, and by bringing all of these groups together into one voice, now hopefully at the next Consent of the Governed rally, three people or a group of five people or a group of 20 people can walk down the halls in Jefferson City and say, yes, this is what we want. And how many people do you represent? 150,000. What? 150,000? Well, maybe I'll sit down and listen to you for a minute. Now, phase two of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and this is the beauty. And you know, I mean, people are really awed sometimes by this voice of 150,000. But here is the good part in my mind. If you are in Ozark, if you are in Farmington, if you are in Osceola, and you have an issue, you have a county commission or you have a city council that is tromping all over the rights of you as the citizen or the rights of your group, if they are not adhering to the limited government and the sovereignty of the state and the individual, and you need to go to war with that city council or that county commission, what better way to do it than with 150,000 letters, emails to that city council or that county commission saying to them, listen, get this right or we will have 100,000 $5 bills in the mail to your opponent at the next election. Now, everyone in Missouri Grassroots Coalition probably spends $200 a year on politics. $200 a year. That is $45 bills. So if you were to take, rather than spending $200 on a candidate, and if you were to take those $205 bills and put them one $5 bill at a time in the mail to any one of these groups that needs to fix their city, that needs to fix their county, that needs to fix their village, imagine what we could do. Do you know what $5 bills in 100,000 envelopes would do to a county election? Do you know what 2,000 $5 bills would do to a county election? Or a city election? Or a village election? So this is the beauty of how this thing could work. And if your group is not a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, you need to get in. I'm telling you right now, you will be pleasantly surprised that Missouri Grassroots Coalition does nothing to govern you. But the other thing that we are is we are a conduit. Now, there are you and I, we're the same. You know, we get up in the morning, we go to work at the grocery store or the gas station or the dry cleaners. We work 8, 10, 12 hours a day. We come home, we eat some supper, we watch the Cardinal ball game, we collapse in the bed. And that's our life. We don't get to, during the legislative session, follow the rabies law and the methamphetamine law and the prescription law and the charter schools law and all these things that are just disastrous for us. And if you don't think disastrous for us, I mean, just look at the list that the last legislative session came out with. And these are people who you sent up there as conservatives, as small government people, and look at what they did to you. Just pick up the list of legislation they passed and look what they did to you. So here we go. We don't have time. You and I don't. I mean, face it, we don't have time. We would love to. We would love to sit around for 8, 10, 12 hours a day doing nothing but filtering through the legislation that is currently trying to find its way through the House and trying to find its way through the Senate and sitting in a committee now and reading the bill and making sure that it's constitutional and making sure that it's okay and making sure that it doesn't trample on liberty. But we can't. We can't. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, we eat supper, we watch the Cardinal ball game, we go to bed, we do that again tomorrow. There are, however, people out there. There are groups out there. There are watchdog organizations out there that's what they do. Some of them do it just with education bills. Some of them do it just with Agenda 21 bills. Some of them do it just in general. So what we can do, too, is we can bring all of those groups together. And all of those groups are members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, so you will go there during the legislative session. You won't see it so much now, except now there are some groups that are trying to drive you to encourage or discourage a override, because that's where the legislative process is right now. But these groups, you'll see daily or three or four times a day something coming up from these groups that say, this is a piece of legislation we've been tracking, and this is a piece of crap because of this. And they'll tell you what it is. They'll give you a link to the actual wording of the bill, to where you can go and actually read the bill, and then they'll tell you how you can help get that thing stopped or get that thing moving if that's what needs to happen. And many of them even have specific action centers where they've written emails and all you've got to do is put your name in there. They've written witness forms to get in front of committees that are hearing and seeing bills. And if you don't think this makes a difference, you should have been around for the filibuster that stopped this prescription drug bill. Those senators, those seven senators that stopped this bill dead in its tracks, stood there all night long, and what they did was they read the emails that you folks sent in for hours and for hours and for hours until finally the sponsor of this bill just gave up and pulled it off the floor and sent it back to the informal calendar. So if you think that all those emails don't make a difference, if you think that 30 or 50 or 90 or 100 emails to a legislator don't make a difference when something like that is being considered, think again. So here we are. We're in Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We give you a voice. When I say we give you a voice, you become part of a huge voice to Jefferson City. And you can rely on a huge voice at your local center when you need it. And then you can have access without having to be a member of 44 different groups who are looking at specific kinds of legislation. You can have access to the actions that need to be taken by this legislation that this group is looking at and that legislation that group is looking at. And you can use Missouri Grassroots Coalition to help you make a difference rather than having to chase these things through 14 or 15 different organizations. So if your group isn't in Missouri Grassroots Coalition, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page. It's Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Follow us on Twitter, Missouri Grassroots Coalition. And help us get involved, help us make this thing happen. I'm going to be talking with Ed Martin next week. I'm going to be talking to Mike Moon next week. Vaughn is going to talk about elder abuse on Tuesday night next week. Lisa is going to come along with something phenomenal. Lisa, by the way, is going to Springfield on the 21st for a big American for Prosperity gathering. So if you're in the Springfield area, look up Lisa on Missouri Grassroots Coalition or go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and check out Lisa's postings on that. At MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, if you just want to drop by there, there's always plenty of blogs, plenty of news, the grass fire alert that's going on right now, a place for you to join, and the calendar. All of our groups that are members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition have access to the MGC calendar, and they can put their events up there, and now you can see when people are meeting, and I mean, if you're interested in seeing when someone on the other side of the state is meeting, but you can see and participate in any specific meetings that are going on in your area. Maybe you're a member of a 9-12 group and you feel like you need to be a little bit more active. Well, maybe there's two or three or four more groups in your area that you could lend your voice to. So all of those groups will have their calendars at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's pretty much a wrap for tonight. We've talked to Adam Warren for about 90 minutes. Adam's going to run for is running for Attorney General of the United States, or of the state of Missouri. He will be on your ballot August 7th. August 7th is the primary. I say this every night that I'm here. August 7th is where, if you are a liberty-minded patriot, you get your say. Because August 7th is where we separate the rhinos from the liberty-minded conservatives. It's where we separate the establishment from the citizen legislature, where we get to send the people that we know need to go to Jefferson City to Jefferson City. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. It is the Hour of Truth. I am Dave, and we are done for the night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.